And the topic we'll be considering tonight is a Christ-centered thanksgiving. And we'll be looking at three verses in Colossians chapter 3 that I think as soon as, even if the numbers don't hit home with you, as soon as you hear them read, you'll recognize them well. Colossians chapter 3, beginning at verse 15, going through verse 17, the Apostle Paul writes, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father." Here in this wonderful passage, Colossians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul is talking about what it practically looks like to live out our salvation. He's talking about what it means to live out this reality of being united with Christ. And obviously, we don't have a lot of time, but if you just look back at verse 1, it talks about our union with Christ in His resurrection. Paul writes, verse 1, "If you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God." And we have been raised with Christ. We're in union with Christ. Notice in verse 3, "We're united with Christ in His death, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God." So here we are as believers. If you've repented of sin and put faith in Jesus Christ, if you are a follower of Christ, a believer in the gospel, you're united with Christ. And the Apostle Paul is calling us to live that out in a practical way. He's calling us to be thankful for the body of Christ. And that's what we see in verse 15. Be thankful for the body of Christ. Notice again, please, verse 15. Paul writes, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts." Now, the Bible talks about different kinds of peace. There's an interpersonal peace. There's an internal peace. And there's an objective theological peace. Right? God's not mad at me anymore if I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. We could call that objective peace, theological peace. And in the midst of a storm, you could have the peace of Christ. That's that internal peace. But Paul's not talking about those two here. Paul's talking about interpersonal peace. When Paul writes in verse 15, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts," he's talking about as a body of believers, we should be at peace with one another. And that's something that can be challenging in a church, because a church is a group of very different people that come together as they put faith in Christ. Notice verse 11, please. In Colossians 3:11, Paul's talking about the different people at this church. And he makes reference to Greek and Jew. And if you remember your history, those two groups of people did not interact with one another. But in the church, they do. He talks about circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free man. He's talking about people who don't normally get along. And he's calling them to be at peace with one another. Now, that's certainly something that should be true, right, in every local assembly. You know, here we are as a group of believers in Jesus Christ, and we certainly have a lot of differences. I'm guessing if we were to ask for testimonies on how you celebrated Thanksgiving, there would be some differences, maybe related to food or maybe related to how you would eat. And maybe for some, food's not even part of your tradition. If we went forward to Christmas time, I'm guessing we would find that same thing, that there's different ways that the people that have been born again celebrate Christmas. Some, you know, you go by their house and it's just like, wow, you know, it's just pretty decorated. I don't know what else to say. Lights everywhere. And some people aren't really into decoration so much. Some people inside a lot of time spend on a tree and different items, and other people, you know, we prefer not to do that. And all of these different viewpoints that people have, and I'm not suggesting one is more right or less right than the other. It could be something as simple as how you spent your afternoon. And some of you, even this afternoon, maybe after the morning worship service, you stopped at a restaurant and had a bite to eat with your family and gave thanks. And there's perhaps some who said, you know, on Sunday, I really don't choose to go to restaurants. We don't frequent stores, and That's just what we prefer to do, and that's certainly acceptable as well. We have many different preferences about 100 different topics. And what does God say? God says in verse 16, let the peace of Christ, verse 15, rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. To what were we called? We were called to be at peace with one another. The moment you were saved, you were placed in the body of Christ. Christianity is a calling. And when you were called to come to know Christ as your Savior, placed into that body, then it was immediate at that point in time that we would have peace with one another, to which you were called in one body, and be thankful. Now, we could ask the question, what does it mean to be thankful? And it's always good to be thankful for every good thing that we have. But if we were going to limit this to context, then it would be talking about being thankful that all of these different people that have repented of sin and put faith in Jesus Christ can be united in one body. That's the church. Christ, the head of the church, all of us different members of that body. None of us deserving to be part of the body. It's a calling. But yet all of us together in this one great assembly where we all belong. And we now have found a home. In our Sunday school class this morning, because of the Thanksgiving weekend, we took testimonies and we asked the different people to share their testimonies of how they came to know Christ as Savior and just gave thanks for different things. And I certainly don't want to embarrass anyone and wouldn't use names at all, but two separate people gave very similar testimonies of how now that I'm a Christian, that here I am and life is different now. I don't have as much contact with old friends and other people I used to hang out with who just my life has changed. A second testimony, now that I live in this part of the country, I don't really have family nearby, and this has been a big change for me. And yet both of those individuals gave testimony, but here at Trinity, I found a home. I have found a family. And that's what we are. We're a family. And we come together in spite of all of our differences on, no doubt, I was going to say 100 different issues, probably more than 100. And yet we take very seriously that we are part of one body. And so what does Paul say? Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. People who come and visit us ought to leave, and I know I've said this before, but just if I may repeat, ought to leave thinking I've never met a more diverse group of people, and yet I am so impressed by how they're at peace with one another. Different political views, different views on things in our country, different socioeconomic backgrounds, different educational levels, different traditions. And yet all focused on being thankful that they could be in the body of Christ. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. Let the peace of Christ, rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. We should be thankful that we can be part not only of the body of Christ in its largest sense, that we could know Christ, but that also we could be part of this local assembly. So what we're going to do is rejoice in that. I'll ask our instrumentalists to come, and Brother Dale's now going to come. And in song, we're going to testify to this reality of Colossians 3:15 and give thanks that we can be part of the body of Christ. Well, this Thanksgiving weekend, we're being encouraged from the Scripture to be thankful. And we've already considered Colossians chapter 3. In verse 15, to be thankful for the body of Christ, where it says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. I'd like to direct our attention to the next verse, Colossians chapter 3, in verse 16, where Paul encourages us to sing with thankfulness for the gospel of Christ. In Colossians 3:16, Paul writes, "Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God." Notice that phrase, verse 16, the word of Christ. That would be a reference to the word that focuses on Christ, the word of which Christ is the central theme, if you will, the word that tells us all about the gospel. Because what is the gospel? The gospel is the person and work of Jesus Christ. And that's what the gospel focuses on, Christ. So when we look at 3:16, it says the word of Christ. We're talking about the scriptures that reveal the gospel to us. And Paul says that this word of Christ must richly dwell within us. And so we should be a people that just love to read the word, love to read about the gospel, love to read about Jesus Christ. Certainly that includes regular time spent in reading the word. If you remember exactly, I say exactly, approximately 11 months ago when we began this year, we encouraged one another to be faithful in daily Bible reading. We are now 1 month from the end of the year. And I say that just to encourage you that if you've been trying to read through the scriptures this year, that by God's grace you would finish strong. And no doubt there are times where you try to do it, you might have gotten behind a little bit, but that's okay. That's no reason to quit. Even if you don't finish on schedule, continue on. Why? So that the word of Christ, this word that gives us the gospel, would richly dwell within us. That certainly could be more than just reading the word. It involves listening to others read the word. It involves listening to preaching and even coming to a service like this and hearing a sermon or downloading messages on the internet. Many different ways to do that. But notice what happens. Paul writes, "Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs." So as this word of Christ dwells within us, as we meditate deeply on the gospel, what should the result be? The result should be that we sing. And that with psalms, with hymns and spiritual songs, we're singing with thankfulness in our hearts to God. So what kind of songs would we sing? Well, we would sing songs that teach and admonish one another. You know, maybe one way of just summarizing that is we would sing doctrinally rich songs. One of the things we try to do here at Trinity is when we look at a song and evaluate, we try to ask, is this a doctrinally rich song? Is this a song that teaches and admonishes us? And I've mentioned this in the past, not often, but occasionally, that means there's some older sentimental favorites that maybe don't make the cut anymore. Because even though they're traditional songs, if you really take a look at them, they're doctrinally weak. And they're not the kind of songs that really teach us about Christ and admonish us about Christ and how to live in response to Christ. But not just singing doctrinally rich songs. Notice what it says, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God, which certainly applies to how we sing. And all of this is the response of our heart to the word of Christ dwelling within us. So as we meditate on the gospel and we think about Jesus Christ and what he has done and what he continues to do for us, the most natural thing in the world ought to be that there comes within a thankful spirit that is expressed in song. And so one of the reasons we come together as a church is so that we can sing songs of praise to God, songs that have an impact on those sitting around us. Your singing should minister to me. And as I listen to the words of the songs you sing, gospel-rich words with thankfulness in your hearts, I ought to find myself being what? Being taught, yes, that is what Christ has done. That's wonderful. And admonished, hey, Greg, I really haven't been thinking about Christ as much as I should, but your singing is admonishing me. And we're having those kinds of gospel-rich songs sung because this word of Christ is richly dwelling within us. You say, what would be an example of that kind of a song? Well, you're in Colossians 3. Go back to Colossians chapter 2, please. And in Colossians chapter 2, I'll begin reading at verse 6. In Colossians chapter 2, I'll read from verse 6 all the way down to verse 10. The apostle writes, "Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord," that's your salvation, "so walk in Him," that's your sanctification, "having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. For in Him," that's Jesus Christ, "all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and in Him you have been made complete. And He is the head over all rule and authority. In Jesus Christ, we have been made complete." Again, I'm going to ask our instrumentalists to come and ask Dale to come and lead us. We're going to take this gospel truth that if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you lack absolutely nothing. But in Christ, you are complete, not because of anything you have done, but because of what Jesus has done. And I trust that by God's grace, as we sing this doctrinally rich song, we'll sing it with thankfulness in our hearts, and we'll sing it in a way that would be a blessing, teaching and admonishing one another, even as we sing to God. Well, as we continue just giving thanks on this Thanksgiving weekend, in light of Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, which teaches us that we are to be thankful for the body of Christ, and then Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, encouraging us to sing with thankfulness for the gospel of Christ. We then turn finally tonight to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17, which encourages us to always give thanks in the name of Christ. Paul writes in Colossians 3:17, "Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father." Now, whatever, a very broad term. I mean, it's pretty all-encompassing. And just in case we miss it, Paul adds, "Whatever you do in word or deed." So this encourages in word or deed everything we say, everything we do. That would include whatever you say or do on your way home tonight, whatever you say or do once you're home with your family or, you know, as an individual with roommates, what have you. It includes whatever you say or do as you wake up in the morning. For some of you, maybe heading off to work, for others, perhaps heading off to school. It means whatever you say or do when you go to a store, whenever you engage in one of your hobbies. It's all-encompassing, but in context, Paul is talking about the church. So if I could just bring it home a little bit more narrowly, whatever you do in word or deed, this is a reference to the church. This is a reference to believers coming together, even as we do tonight. Remember, no one of us is a church. When I'm home by myself, I'm not a church. I'm a church as I gather with you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, and we worship Christ together. So Paul says, whatever we do in word or deed as the church, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, doing something in the name of another person is this idea of acting as his representative or acting under his authority. You know, if somebody comes to you and says, "I'm here in the name of the President of the United States," and he would be an ambassador, that person doesn't represent himself. He's representing the President, obviously, of the United States. We are to do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to do everything in word or deed in a way that we could simply would say would be Christ-centered. Everything we do as a church family should be about the gospel. There are a lot of things that people do that are appropriate, that are fine, but everything we do must be gospel-focused, somehow tied to the gospel. You know, there's different events that take place, different natural disasters or what have you. And sometimes we're asked, you know, as a church, do you want to participate in this type of thing? I have no problem with people individually giving to help those in places of legitimate need. But just to remind all of us, that's not what God has called us to do as a church. You know, not long ago, we were asked to contribute to some certain civic things going on, building a new library and such. And I'm not suggesting that's a bad thing, but that's not what God has called us to do as a church. As a church, we are supposed to have a focus on the gospel. And even as we reach out to people in need, it has to be tied to the gospel. And reaching out to those people in need would just be a vehicle of sharing the gospel. That's the idea of doing everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're planning a outreach picnic, Lord willing. We're just beginning this. Something new for us. We plan to do this coming summer. And rather than having a church picnic, as we've traditionally done, which is a wonderful thing because fellowship is taught in the Scriptures, we're going to have a community picnic, Lord willing, where hopefully we'll be able to get some bouncy toys for the kids and then have a little bit of bluegrass, maybe music going on, having some hot dogs cooked or some cotton candy and just some fun stuff that might bring people in, maybe a dunk tank with Pastor Ward in it, okay? And if we can get him in there, just somebody fun to watch dunk, okay? And invite the community and call it, I don't know what to call, we'll have to come up with a name, but call it Community Outreach Day or something like that, where we just reach out and then we'll invite all of us to come to that as well. But the whole goal will be that some of the people in the neighborhood are just maybe cutting through Subaru Road, driving up and down, would say, boy, that looks like fun. And the kids in the truck or in the car or whatever would say, Mommy, Daddy, can we stop there? Sure, why not? And then we would be there to welcome them and say, it's nice to meet you. Hey, my name is Greg. This is where I worship. And you're always welcome here. And just to make contact with people. And would it be okay if I gave you a little information about the ministry here? You'd always be welcome back. Here's a website if you're interested. And the idea is we would be doing this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, always tied to Christ and His work, the gospel. Now, notice it says in verse 17, then giving thanks through Him to God the Father. So as we gather together as an assembly, everything having something to do with the gospel, we would always want to make sure that as we gather, we're giving thanks. Now, that could be individually in our hearts, and that might just be even as you would drive here in your heart, you're worshiping, Lord, thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you that I could know you. And then as we have our small group meetings and just you make contact in different areas, giving thanks. I'm not suggesting you have to do it this way, but even this weekend as I was with maybe four or five other brothers watching a football game, you say, what do you do at halftime? We just turn off the game. And we just go around in a circle giving thanks. Say, what are you thankful for? What are you thankful for? And we just have a nice time of praising God together as we give thanks. Certainly as a church family, we did this past Wednesday night. And many of you came to one of the four microphones that were set up. And you shared testimonies. You were giving thanks of how the Lord has blessed you. And that's what we should always be doing as a church. It should be a place where people come together. Rejoicing in the gospel and giving thanks. I'm glad that we have that heart and we have that spirit here at Trinity. I don't know if you know this or not, but that's not always the case. I don't have statistics, but I've talked to a lot of people who say, Greg, you know, I was worshiping at Trinity recently, and the times I've been there, it's just seemed like a really nice place where the people actually seem to love one another and love the Lord. And in the church I'm from, there's just so much fighting and arguing going on. You say, when's the last time someone told you that story? Friday. You know, I don't want to be overly specific, but there's a brother who worships with us every now and then. He lives out of state, but for whatever reason, he comes into this area. And when he's in this area, he worships with us and asked me, he said, I would really like to meet with you for an hour. And can we get together? So we grabbed a cup of coffee together. And he said, we have actually thought about maybe one day relocating because we would like to participate in a ministry where people actually love one another and love Jesus Christ and aren't fighting. And then he went into his question as hit his church, and this is in another state. And again, I'm being vague enough, I trust that no one would identify this individual, that they're just going through some really rough times. And I won't even comment on what they are. Again, just just so that I don't offend him at all. But he said, Pastor Greg, what do I do? And I said, well, there's three things that people do in times like this. One is they would get very angry and lose their thankful spirit and maybe stir up trouble and become part of a church split. But that does not please Jesus Christ. One thing you could do is be thankful for all of the good that is there and then talk to leadership and see if you can be part of a solution. The whole time giving thanks. Or another thing you could do is you could very thankfully and prayerfully decide to transition out of that ministry and transition to a different ministry. But let me encourage you, if you did do that, and that's a fine thing to do if you believe it honors the Lord, you would obviously make an appointment with leadership. You would let them know why you're leaving, and your main goal would be to leave giving thanks. And even if you were to leave a church and the transition out, it would be, hey, before we leave, can we just mention to you how God has used this ministry to be a blessing to me, my wife, my kids? And be thankful. There is never an excuse not to be thankful. This is what should characterize the body of Christ. And even as there are differences, and I realize sometimes legitimate, even in the midst of those, we would still be giving thanks through Him, that's Jesus Christ, to God the Father. This is what it looks like to live out practically union with Christ. We would, verse 15, be thankful for the body of Christ. Lord, thank you that I could gather together with brothers and sisters, forgiven sinners just like me. We would sing with thankfulness for the gospel of Christ. Lord, thank you that I can gather together with these brothers and sisters and sing songs about the gospel, and that they could minister to me. They teach and admonish me, even as I hope I would do with them. And then finally, we would always give thanks in the name of Christ. And it's been a delight even to do that with you this Thanksgiving weekend. Let's pray.